News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Second housing crisis is on the horizon this year, which will see a drastic divide between urban and rural politics. Dysfunctional rental markets, congestion and Brexit will all have their role to play in the worsening situation. And to discuss this, I'm joined in studio by Conor Skehan, the former chair of the Housing Agency and DIT lecturer in planning. Conor, thanks for coming in. Hello. To talk to us this morning. Conor, you're looking into the crystal ball when it comes to housing for 2019, and I'm sure there's many people out there who feel that we haven't gotten a handle on the current housing crisis that we have, but you're actually predicting that this year will bring a second housing crisis. Can you tell us what will be the driving factors behind that second crisis?
Well, a crisis is just when you find it difficult to deal with the reality that is confronting you if you haven't prepared. So I'm on the record as having given very timely warnings about the fact that there would be a housing collapse, that there'd be a recovery, and I'm now making a third set of predictions that this doesn't have to happen, but if we prepare for it, we can avoid the outcomes I'm describing. So the outcomes I'm describing are that we will have almost like a Greek tragedy, the very thing we've looked for, which is an increase in supply.
Will be our downfall.
Well done. Exactly. And what will happen is that we will get the houses, but we won't be able to afford them. So we'd be like Sisyphus with it always getting out of our reach. And the affordability, I've been saying this for years, is the real issue. It's not supply. So housing demand withers as price increases. They're the basic laws of economics, that supply and demand is governed by price. So unaffordable housing will be the same as unavailable housing.
So we've been going on for so long about supply and saying that supply was the bullet, and if we got the silver bullet of supply, that we would all be able to afford houses. But a lack of supply or a lack of affordable houses is as bad as a lack of supply. What then can be done to make sure that if the supply comes on stream, that some of those houses are affordable for people?
Well, there are two factors in supply. Everybody also takes the eye off the ball by obsessing about new built housing, as if new built housing is supply. And of course, we're all encouraged to do that by the building industry.
Second-hand homes are a big part of this.
They're the majority, the vast majority of housing supply are houses that already exist that are being used by people who are downsizing because their family have all grown up, and that makes it available for the next generation to come along and buy themselves a house. That has been at historic low levels for a very long time. It's a very hard thing to spot sometimes is what's not happening, like the Sherlock Holmes story, the dog that didn't bark. So people tend not to notice a real housing crisis when houses stop being for sale at all because people are afraid of crystallising losses or finding out their negative equity is a problem. That's starting to end now. People are starting to see a glimmer of hope and they're saying we'll move and we'll take a bit of a loss, we'll move into a more comfortable home. And that's seeing more housing coming on the market. And you're already starting to see what economists call a softening of prices. You're probably hearing reports. Ronan Lyon does a great job of tracking that type of stuff, where he's talking about how house price increases are slowing. And I'm predicting that that will continue. It'll accelerate till eventually we get to a stage where the houses will be there. People won't be able to afford it. What I think can be done is, first of all, anticipate it. Secondly, to take on the whole housing industry itself and start to get them to realise that there are finite limits. So to say to the government, for instance, don't soften on the prudence of the central bank, because the certainty about the price limits has got to become a hard reality, a hard edge that the building sector have to accept, to get them to start to examine what they're doing. The second thing that has to happen is we as a country have to start to cop ourselves on as to what an affordable house is. We kind of make the stone in our own shoe by expecting a house to be this complete thing with a fantastic kitchen and all the mod cons when you move in. In many other countries, a starter home is exactly what it says in the tin. It's four walls, a roof, a stairs, one bathroom.
And then gradually
And the first couple of years of people were setting up a new household then becomes kind of fun. So, I mean, these houses don't even have partitions. You see them in the Netherlands. They're complete bare bones. They're great fun to move into when you're brand new and you're starting out and you can put up with all kinds of stuff and you grow your way into the house. Those kinds of houses are cheap as chips, because you probably all know something like a kitchen. You can lose 20 grand in a kitchen before you even blink. The fancy bathroom with all the tiles, there's another 10 grand gone. So real affordable housing is a challenge we haven't even looked at in this country. And that's not even starting to talk about elements that are factory finished. We used to call it prefabricated, which is kind of shabby and nasty and things like that. But many countries are using factory finished elements to make the whole house cheaper and cheaper. So we need to set ourselves challenges in our building sector to find ways of making houses that are cheaper, which would make them more affordable. That's one part of it. The other thing, though, is of crushing the expectation of profits. So bankers and builders and financiers have all got to understand that a housing scheme that expects to make a 30% profit is a housing scheme built by people who need their heads examined. The huge big retail businesses in Ireland make fantastic profits on 3 and 5% profit margins. So we have to crush the idea of the mad profit margin, which in turn will crush the idea of spending mad money on sites, because sites are a huge part of what drive up the cost of housing. And it's a long, slow process. And the big thing the government have to do at this stage is nothing. Don't you hate dead air? Nothing. And they, for them to just do nothing, leave everything alone, stick with the prudence, stick with the rules they have, don't give in to the building lobby, don't give in to the whiners, and just allow the whole thing to settle down and then challenge the building sector to come back with real affordable housing.
Conor, you also make some predictions in terms of what we might see as a rural versus urban divide when it comes to housing this year. What do you mean by that?
Well, the first thing is to quash the idea of it being rural versus urban. That's not the issue. It's that it's different in different regions. And what's going to happen is that in the urbanising regions of Ireland, remember, urbanisation is happening all over Ireland. And urbanised areas have very different political needs than places that are essentially rural in character. So the foundation of the state, 65% of the country were rural, now 65% are urban. And urban politics requires people who are able to make things happen. That's make transport run on time, make water flow in a way that's reliable, make housing available when it's required. And that type of urbanised politics is highly focused on where the needs are. And the needs of the majority of Irish people are in urban areas. Urban areas typically are people who pay a lot of tax, don't expect much back from it, and they've been a very quiet sleeping giant. I suspect as this type of stuff, and I'm predicting, as this type of stuff begins to move to the fore, that urbanised population will begin to become mobilised and may become politicised. And it's a very, very important wake-up call for politics in Ireland.
And just to go a little bit further with that point, like divides between parties, you know, you're saying the government needs to do nothing, but I suppose we need everybody to come on board to back that plan to do nothing. Do you see a difficulty or a challenge with that, given the makeup of the government?
Yes, squeaky wheels will always get oiled. Minorities in all coalition systems, PR systems all over the world tend towards systems where people have to cobble together deals, and that makes them very prone to being steered by very small minorities. You can see in countries like Italy and Israel. So in Ireland, the system that we've got to try to put in place is for everybody to buy into the idea of the need to support our urban centres as being the engines of our economic growth. That's the future.